We continue our study on the revelation of God as found in His names. We have been dealing with the fact that God is revealed in His names in the Bible. And we found that the revelation of God in the Old Testament is confirmed in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. May we never forget John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him, He hath shown Him forth." So as you go down through these names, remember, we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We found, for example, that the first name of God in the Bible is Elohim, which is the regular name for God. He's the Creator, He's the Mighty One, and it's used over 2,700 times in the Old Testament, especially in dealing with the Gentile nations. And then you have the revelation of God to Abraham as El Elyon in Genesis chapter 14, where He's revealed as the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. This is the title used, for example, when God is dealing with nations and with Israel. For you remember in Deuteronomy 32, when the Most High God divided the nations, He did it according to the number of the people of Israel. And then in our last lesson, we were dealing with this precious one. Not that they're not all precious, but this one really gets into my heart. He's the El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. He's the All-Sufficient One. He's the one who nourishes His people. And again I say, He's the one in whom we can put every bit of our trust. He's the eternal God, 'tis true. And when we come to the New Testament, we find that Jesus Christ is called El Shaddai. He's the first, He's the last. He's the one that was dead, and behold, He's alive forevermore. He's the El Shaddai. He's big enough for the needs of any one of His people. He's powerful enough for us, even in the 20th century, in the midst of all the corruption and chaos and lack of peace in the world. Our God is big enough, and the day is going to be when God is going to reveal Himself as the Almighty, as the El Shaddai. We find people today who man is seeking to make his own God. He's conquered the world. He wants to conquer the sea. He wants to conquer the universe, and that's all right. But the trouble is, in too many quarters, they're trying to get away from God. They don't want God to interfere with their plans, with what they want to do. And in our universities and colleges and seminaries, and I'm sorry to say this, we have moved far away from the revelation of God given to us in the Word of God. Man has moved away from God. We're living in a secular society. But may I say, my friend, God has not moved away from man. His purpose in the earth will still be accomplished. There's nothing on earth, nothing in the universe, nothing in hell. There is no created intelligence that's going to thwart the purpose of God for man. I have oftentimes thought about this. The Almighty God, He could just speak the word, and this whole universe could go up in flames. He could just speak the word, and this world would just not be. But He loves men. The Almighty God still loves men. In spite of all the corruption that goes on in the world today and the defiance of God, His sun still shines upon us, upon the just and the unjust. The rains come, the ground gets forth its increase, the flowers bloom, the birds sing. Oh, how God must love men. He's done so much for man. And yet man, in his arrogance, turns away from Him. But some of these days, in one of these days, the Lord is going to be revealed from heaven as the El Shaddai. And may I say to those of you who love the Savior, He's El Shaddai to you now. He is sufficient for your need now. Every once in a while here, I come into into contact with people and counseling people. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest demonstrations of the power of God, that is El Shaddai, is in the lives of some of his people. What man can't do, God does. I want you to think about that. And now we come to the next revelation of God in the Bible, and that is the word Jehovah. Jehovah. This means the ever-present God. He is the self-existent one. He's the great I Am of the Bible. He's the eternal God. He always was, he is, and will always be the ever-present eternal God, Jehovah. It's a rather remarkable thing that the Jewish people never used this name, Jehovah. To them, it's a name that's too sacred to be upon the lips of men. And they generally use the word Adonai, the word for Lord, Adonai. This one who always was and is and ever will be. May I just say, I see this very frankly, tenderly. What a lesson for us. We've gone to the other extreme. If the Jew down through the centuries called God Adonai instead of using this great name Jehovah, which is his eternal name, would to God, and I say this very reverently, that we Christians, we who profess the name of Christ, that when we use any of the names of God, may it be with reverence, with awe. Sometimes, and I'm very blunt when I say this, sometimes I've heard people talking about our Savior, they talk about the Lord, they talk about Jehovah, they talk about God, and I just shrink at the lack of reverence, the lack of understanding, or shall I say, they must do it. I've got to say this, they must do it in ignorance. Surely they couldn't do it any other way, but in ignorance. And when you and I use the name of our Savior, or the name, even the name of Jesus, which sometimes is just thrown round like a baseball, with no thought of worship or reverence or awe, if you love the Savior, then let us revere him, let us reverence him. And when we use his name, may it not be with glibness, if I can use that term, but rather with that spirit of worship. He's my Savior, but he's also the El Shaddai. He's also Jehovah, the eternal God. Now, the first time this word Jehovah is used is in Genesis chapter 2. And I am sure that as Moses wrote these first books of the Bible, these first five books called the Pentateuch, I'm sure that he was using this by the Spirit of God, because in chapter 1, when the important thing in chapter 1 is creation, the word Elohim is used. But when you come to chapter 2, he uses the word Jehovah, because it is God in his relationship to man. In the first chapter, I say creation is the center of the picture as far as creation is concerned. But when it comes to chapter 2, there's very little said about creation. Man has come on the scene. Man is the center. And the word Jehovah is used. And as you go down through your Bible, you'll notice that the name Jehovah is especially used with the people of Israel. In fact, there are those who are liberals in theology who claim that Jehovah was a tribal god, that he was the God of the Jew. And, by the way, I must say this, that the Jews felt that was true. One cannot read the book of Jonah without realizing that they wanted Jehovah for themselves instead of for the rest of the world. And God had to teach Jonah a lesson, that he was not only the God of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also. You remember Paul wrote of this in Romans chapter 3 when he said, Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God who shall justify the Jew by faith and the Gentile through faith. So on. And may I suggest that this is the one who reveals himself especially to his people. Now the first one we have of this, if I may be allowed to do it, in the book of Exodus chapter 3. I'll be coming back to this passage after a while, but I just want to mention this. In the third chapter of the book of Exodus, where Moses said to God, "What is your name? What shall I say to the people of Israel when I say that you have sent me?" And in verse 14, I read these words, "And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, Jehovah hath sent me." You go down to verse 15, "The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Now let me read from chapter 6 of Exodus, in verses 2 and 3. "And God spake unto Moses and said to him, I am Jehovah. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, by the name of El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." Will you please notice this? This is a new revelation of God. I am sure that this man, Moses, knew something about El Shaddai. So when he said to God, "Who are you? What's your name?" He said, "I am Jehovah. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Will you please notice? This is God's eternal name, Jehovah. And it's always spoken of in connection with his people, especially Israel. Now, if I might inject here, because of this, then Israel is to be an eternal nation. If their God is eternal, and he makes to them an eternal promise, then they will be an eternal nation. And by the way, when you come to the book of Isaiah, the last chapter of Isaiah, it would be Isaiah chapter 66, he talks about the fact, "As the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." In fact, if we want to go to Isaiah and Jeremiah, we read of the fact that just as eternal as the new heavens and the new earth are, just so are the people of Israel before God. My friend, may I just inject this? You can't explain the Jewish people any other way. They've been maligned, they've been treated, they've been living in ghettos, and for centuries they've wandered all over the world, and God has preserved them. Why? Because he is the eternal God. He's their God, and he's made with them an eternal covenant, and they are just as eternal as the covenant which God has made with them. That's why when you come to the last chapter of Isaiah, and I quote it again, "As the new heavens and the new earth which I shall make, so shall your seed remain before me," speaking about Israel. So I read again, this is his eternal name. Then may I suggest, this is the name that is always related to redemption. It's under the name of Jehovah that God made his covenant with the people of Israel. And I would like to turn to the book of Isaiah, and I'm just giving a little gist of this. This question of the revelation of the ever-present God, irrespective of what happens on earth, irrespective of what men do or think or say against God, he's the eternal God. He's the ever-present God. Let me read these verses from Isaiah 44. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Jehovah of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. In verse 8, you are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no God. I know not of any. And you go on down through verse 11 and verse 43. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no stranger. Verse 3 of 43. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And he goes on to say, I give Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Seman for thee. You go down to verse 14. I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. Verses 14 and 15. Thus saith Jehovah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and so on. Verse 15, for I am Jehovah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Then we go back to chapter 44, verse 6. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. I say again, his name is coupled very closely with redemption. And did you notice the names that were used there in that 44th and 43rd chapter of Isaiah? He's the Redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Savior. He's the Creator of Israel. He's their King. He's their Redeemer. One further thing. You go to Exodus chapter 3. We come down in verses 10 to 15. And chapter 6, 1 to 8. Now, I've already mentioned these, but I want this thing to be very, very clear to your heart. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known to your fathers, but by my name, El Shaddai. That's why we were saying in one of the other lessons, in the book of Job, I think nearly 30 times, they call him El Shaddai. And I take it from the text and from the history of this, from the beginning of chapter 1 of Genesis right through until you come to the 6th chapter, the 3rd and 6th chapter of Exodus, God's people knew him as El Shaddai. Job knew him as El Shaddai. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob knew him as El Shaddai. Now we're going to have a new thing. God is going to take a people who have been in slavery for approximately 400 years. He's going to lead them out of slavery, out of Egypt. He's going to bring them into a desert, into a wilderness, where for 40 years they're going to be in this terrible, terrible place called the wilderness. It was called a howling wilderness, called a furnace, called a terrible thing. Yet before they went, and even though they're going to be opposed by Pharaoh and his hosts, they must learn one thing, that their God is Jehovah, not only El Shaddai, the Almighty God, but he's Jehovah, the ever-present God, always present, always sufficient for his people, wherever they are, whoever they are. It may be I am talking to some today, and you're going through very, very deep waters. And sometimes you feel that your prayers never go beyond the ceiling of your room. You feel as if even the Lord has left you. You feel so alone. And I know I'm talking to some shut-ins who feel this way. They've got no family on earth, and they're just living, waiting for the Lord to call them home. And sometimes they become so lonely. May I say to you, my friend, if you love the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is the ever-present Lord. He's the all-sufficient one, and he's there to meet your personal need. Why not expect him to meet your need? Why not walk in fellowship with him today? Why not worship him, enjoy him? Put your head on his bosom and revel in the presence of one who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And may that be your joy and your blessing today.